Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
We are continuing to talk about our featured novel today, The Giver. Actually, we gave you a summary of the plot last time. And today, we're going to talk about the author. If you like the book, The Giver, hey, there's good news because Lois Lowry, the author, actually has written several novels for young readers.
She sure has. We're going to talk about her life. What her background was like, how she grew up, and some of the books she's written already. So it looks like she really loves writing for young adults. If it says it's a young adult book or a book for young adults, it's usually for kids in high school and junior high. So this is probably at a level that would be really good for our listeners.
Although it is kind of controversial, some people think this is not appropriate subject matter for young children. We'll talk about that as our program continues, but hey, let's talk about the author today, Lois Lowry. Let's read through the entire content right now.
The author of The Giver, Lois Lowry, was born in Honolulu, Hawaii in 1937. Her father was a member of the American Armed Forces, so she moved around quite a bit as a child. This gave her a broader perspective of the world than most people from her generation. At university, Lowry majored in writing, but she decided to drop out to get married and start a family. After her marriage ended in divorce, Lowry returned to college to obtain her degree while working as a housekeeper to support her children. All the while, she continued to write and was influenced by the ideas and adventures of her children. Her first novel, A Summer to Die, was released in 1978 and won the International Reading Association Children's Book Award. It is a tale about a 13-year-old girl who is dealing with the news that her older sister is dying from cancer. In the following years, Lowry wrote over 20 books in the young adult genre. The Giver, which remains her most popular work, was published in 1993. And deals with many hot issues in American society at the time. These include abortion, euthanasia, political correctness, and the decline of the traditional family structure. Now, Lowry is a grandmother and continues to write novels aimed at imparting some of her life's wisdom to future generations.
Okay, let's talk about the contents of today's lesson. We're talking about the author of The Giver. She's a woman, and her name is Lois Lowry. She was born way back in 1937 in Honolulu, Hawaii, which is a group of islands in the Pacific Ocean. It's actually a state in the United States. And her father was a member of the American Armed Forces, so she moved around quite a bit as a child. I'm sure you've met people like this yourself, Stephanie. I know I have lots of people who were in army families, and they were stationed all over the world in Germany and Japan and Korea and Hawaii or whatever. So, yes, that was her case here. Her father was a member of the American Armed Forces, which refers to the military. He could have been in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard, etc. And, of course, they send those people all over the world, and they take their families with them.
They do. Some of those kids really develop into outgoing people because they have to make friends in new cities all over the world, so it's kind of fun. It's hard for some kids who are shy, though. So this gave her a broader perspective of the world. If you have a chance to experience other cultures, other countries, it actually does make you a little bit more understanding of the globe and other people outside of America. I think it's a good thing. Well, she had a broader perspective of the world when compared to most people from her generation. She's kind of my mom's generation, and back then, you didn't travel as much as you do today, so it was very different. When you talk about someone's generation, you're talking about all of the people who were born and lived about the same time. Tom and I are in the same generation. My nieces and nephews are in a different generation than I am. They grew up at a different time, and they were certainly born long after I was grown.
There are all sorts of terms for different generations, but you could actually just say the older generation and the younger generation. That would probably pretty much apply to everybody. The older generation would probably be very critical of the younger generation. Mm-hmm. Oh, they don't work hard like we did, etc. So, yes, she's more open-minded, I guess you could say. At university, Lowry majored in writing, which sounds appropriate. If you're studying something in university, we'll say you're majoring in that thing. You could ask somebody, hey, what's your major? Or what are you majoring in? Oh, I'm majoring in engineering, or I'm a pre-med or pre-law or something like that. So that was her specialty. That's what she was studying, writing.
She decided to drop out at one point to get married. If you drop out of something, you could be quitting something like school, like Lois herself. She dropped out to get married and start having kids. That's what start a family means, to have children. You could also drop out of a sports team. Maybe you're on the baseball team and you suddenly decide, they practice too much. I don't want to do this anymore. You can drop out of a team. You can drop out of a club that you've joined at school, or maybe you just drop out of a class. Maybe you're taking a yoga class. You're paying for it with your own money, and you get a little bit too busy. You could just drop out and not continue to attend.
I actually considered dropping out of university so I could go travel the world and stuff. I decided not to, but now actually I kind of regret it because I still haven't traveled the world. I started having responsibilities and stuff like that. I should have done it when I had the chance. But in any case here, she decided to drop out, not to travel the world, but she wanted to get married and have children to start a family. Well, unfortunately, her marriage ended in divorce. Divorce is the time when married couples split up. They get divorced. They no longer want to be married to each other. And so at that point, she was free to return to college to obtain her degree. To obtain means to get something. That's what you want to do when you go to university, to obtain your BA, to obtain your MA, your BFA, Bachelor of Fine Arts or whatever, your master's degree, your doctorate degree, your PhD or whatever. And she was doing this while she was working as a housekeeper to support her children. She must have been very busy during those days.
Oh, yeah, but she was tired. If you're a housekeeper, you clean other people's homes. And then when you're done, you return home to your own house, and she probably had to clean that too. So she was a busy lady. Well, all the while, she continued to write and was influenced by the ideas and adventures of her children. So her children gave her good ideas for her stories. All the while means during this period of time. So I could say during the entire time she was going to school and working as a housekeeper, she continued to write, and her kids gave her great ideas so she could write stories of her own. If you talk about someone's adventures, there are things that you experience that are exciting, perhaps even a little dangerous sometimes. And kids love adventures. They're always going on some adventure. They're like me. When I was growing up, we used to build things in the backyard, like a fort and a tree house. Those were our adventures.
Indeed, those are adventures. And if you're a parent and you have kids, hey, it's a good thing to listen to those kids. They have all these wonderful ideas that we just kind of forgot about when we became adults.
I wanted to mention something that's a little different. While is not typically used as a noun, but here it is. While here is a noun, it's the singular form. It just means a period of time. So all during that period of time, that's what that means there. So it's a little different than we usually use while in sentences, but it is a noun there.
You could say at the same time, meanwhile. While she was doing that, she was doing something else. And so she was raising her kids, working as a housekeeper, and writing and studying. Mm-hmm. Now, her first novel was entitled A Summer to Die. That doesn't sound like a great title for a first novel. But it was released way back in 1978, and I guess it was a pretty good novel. It won the International Reading Association Children's Book Award. As you know, books do win awards if they're good enough. And she won an award back then, the International Reading Association Children's Book Award, which I guess goes to an outstanding book for young readers, for children. And an association just means it's a kind of group of people who are getting together in order to accomplish some kind of goal.
Mm-hmm. Could be a charitable organization or association. They work together to help people who need support. Or maybe you're talking about an athletic association, like a league, like the MLB, or a baseball players association is their union, and all the players get together to make sure they're treated fairly. So this association gave her their children's book award, which must have been so exciting because this was her first novel that was published.
Must have been very encouraging for her, and it was a tale, or is a tale rather, if you read the book, a story about a 13-year-old girl who is dealing with the news that her older sister is dying from cancer. It does not sound like a very happy story, especially if you were told that your older sister or older brother, younger brother, etc., had some terrible disease. But it does happen these days. It does happen to people from time to time. So, of course, you got the bad news. Sorry to tell you this, but your sister has cancer and it's pretty bad. She's probably not going to live.
Yeah, that's tough for young kids to deal with. So a lot of the young adult books that are written kind of help kids deal with difficult situations in their lives, and this is an example of it. Well, after that book was published, some years went by, and in the following years, she wrote over 20 books for the young adults out there. We call it a genre because it's a type of literature. This word is pronounced in kind of a funny way because it's French. So it's not genre or a genre, it's genre. And it just means a type of something. There's also a lot of different types of musical genres, like jazz and rock and pop, things like that. Here we're talking about different types of literature. And these books were focused towards kids that were in junior high, high school, maybe just starting college.
And we'll be right back to our program in just a second, but right now we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 今天我们要来看记忆传承人 The Giver 这个作者他的生平。作者的名字叫做 Louis Lowry。他的父亲呢其实是美国武装部队的一员，所以他儿时常常是到不同的地方居住着。在第一段的第三个句子提到 This gave her a broader perspective of the world than most people from her generation.这样子的经历呢给了他一个更宽阔的世界观。Perspective 要解释成为看法、观点的意思。像我们常说欣赏一些文艺的作品的时候要有适当独特的观点，你就可以说 You need a proper perspective to appreciate a literary work。回到这里咯，其实呢他本来是主修写作，后来结婚成家，但是后来婚姻是以离婚收场。在第一段的中间句子提到 After her marriage ended in divorce, Lori returned to college to obtain her degree while working as a housekeeper to support her children.所以离婚之后他重回校园取得学位，然后同时做管家来抚养他的孩子。在这里的 obtain 其实就是解释成为得到跟获得的意思。我们常常做一些事情需要得到父母的同意，你就可以说 to obtain permission from the parents。当然咯 obtain 这个字还可以解释成为使得到或者是带来什么东西。举例来说，他的条件使他得到了一份好工作，我们就可以说 His qualifications obtained him a good job。 所以在这样子的同时呢，我们来看下一句 All the while she continued to write and was influenced by the ideas and adventures of her children。 在这里 all the while 解释成为这段时间以来，在他回校园同时做管家养育孩子的这些时间以来呢，他持续的写作也被小孩子的想法跟一些经历所影响咯。All the while 解释成为这段时间以来，如果你讲说 for a while 则是解释成为一会儿，譬如说请你在这里等一下，你就可以说 Please wait here for a while。 还有另外一个常见的 In a while 则是解释成为不久马上的意思。 I'll finish my homework in a while 解释成为我马上就可以把作业都做完了。接下来看到第二段提到他的第一本小说，Her first novel, A Summer to Die, was released in 1978 and won the International Reading Association Children's Book Award. 她的第一本小说《最后的夏天》当时发行的时候还赢得了国际阅读协会的童书奖。Association 解释成为协会跟团体，像我们常常看到的缩写叫做 YMCA， 指的就是 The Young Men's Christian Association.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue with our lesson, everybody. We're talking about the author of our featured novel, The Giver. We found out that she was born in Hawaii. She was from a military family, so she lived all over the world. And later she got married, but divorced, and she was working as a housekeeper to raise her children, but she was doing writing on the side, and eventually her first novel was published, A Summer to Die, back in 1978.And it won the International Reading Association Children's Book Award, so it must be a good book. But we are talking about The Giver today, and The Giver, which remains her most popular work, was published in 1993, and that book deals with the hot issues of the day, things that were being discussed, and I suppose they're still being discussed. That's what this book deals with, the themes and ideas. The sentence tells us that it's her most popular work. This is the book that has sold the most copies. It has been read by the most number of people.
Now, if you're talking about hot issues, they're controversial. Not everyone agrees, right? So what are these hot issues? Actually, these hot issues are still pretty hot in America. These include abortion. Abortion is a medical procedure that is used to end a pregnancy and causes the death of the fetus inside the mom. Euthanasia, kind of a weird word, huh?
Yeah.
Euthanasia, it's a weird pronunciation. It's the practice of killing someone who is very, very sick, or maybe they're very old. And it's in order to prevent them from suffering anymore. A lot of people in America think that's wrong because life is a gift, a privilege. Other people think it's okay. It's also referred to mercy killing. They refer to it as mercy killing. Euthanasia is the more scientific term, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, when I first heard this word, I thought they were talking about young people in China, the youth in Asia. That's what I thought it meant, but no, it's not what it's talking about. Again, it's the painless killing of someone who has a terrible, painful, uncurable, or incurable disease, and this does happen from time to time.
And it's actually illegal in the United States.
Exactly, euthanasia. So that's one of the issues the book talks about. It also talks about political correctness. Political means having to do with politics, people running for office and having elections and stuff like that. But also it refers to how people are supposed to think, how they're supposed to behave.
How they're supposed to speak. You can't offend anyone. So sometimes you are prevented from speaking your opinion because it might hurt someone's feelings. So that's kind of a problem today. We've also got the decline of the traditional family structure. When something declines, it becomes worse. It deteriorates. Maybe the quality or condition gets worse. I could say, oh, her health is declining. She's not doing very well. Or you could talk about price is declining. If prices decline, they go down, they decrease, which is good.
Just means to reduce a number, basically. Yes, prices are declining, or the birth rate is declining in Taiwan, etc. And so here it's talking about the decline of the traditional family structure. The structure is how something is built, how it's put together. So if you're talking about a traditional family, you're talking about the father and the mother. He's a man, she's a woman, they have children and stuff like that. Nowadays, sometimes you have single-parent families or even having gay families and stuff like that. Those would not be considered the traditional family structure. So.
Or, you know, maybe young kids having babies when they're 16. They're not married.
Yeah. Sex before marriage.
We just don't even have family structure much anymore. Lots of divorces. It's hard for those ladies out there who are also raising three kids by themselves. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I guess she had a traditional family structure to some degree because
Probably. Now
Lowry is a grandmother. Her children have had children, and she continues to write novels aimed at imparting some of her life's wisdom to future generations. So, yes, she's a grandmother, which, again, refers to somebody whose children have had
children. Yeah.
If you're a man, of course, it's a grandfather, of course. I'm not a grandfather myself at all. My daughter's getting older there, and, you know, she might have a boyfriend and have children. One of these days, it could happen pretty soon, you know, but she's only 12 now, so it's going to be some time. I don't know what it's going to feel like when I'm a grandfather. Hey, Dad, you're going to be a grandfather.
You're going to feel old.
My goodness, I feel old, although I've met some pretty young grandmothers around. But in any case here, she is a grandmother. She might actually I guess you'd have to do the addition there. If she was born in 1937, that would make her, how old now?
Maybe 76.
76, okay.
Yeah,
I guess that's getting up there. But hey, she's still quite chipper, and she is still writing novels which are aimed at imparting some of her life's wisdom. If something is aimed at something, that means that's the goal. To aim means you want to point your weapon at something in order to shoot that thing.
Really?
You could aim your gun at a deer or something, if you're a deer hunter or something like that. But she's not a hunter here. Her goal is to, she wants to impart her life's wisdom. And to impart here just means you convey it, or you communicate that thing to somebody. You let them know that that's what you know.
Yeah, it also means to share something that you know with others. So you make something known to someone. Maybe some of you out there have had really great teachers who impart their knowledge to you and the rest of your class, your classmates. So you could say, our teacher has very clever ways of imparting his knowledge to us. Conveying, as Tom said, is a similar verb, or communicating. You can impart your knowledge in lots of different ways. She wanted to impart some of her life's wisdom. Wisdom is not the same as knowledge. Knowledge is just a bunch of facts that you know. But wisdom goes beyond that. It's knowledge that you gain by having a lot of experiences in life. So you're just a little smarter. Hopefully we all get a little wiser as we get older. Some people have a natural ability to understand things that most people just don't understand. You could say that they're very wise. You don't have to be old to be wise. I have a friend who's quite young, and she's already quite wise for her years. So you can be pretty smart when you're young. Again, it has nothing to do with facts that you memorize. It's things you understand about life that make life better for you.
Indeed. So there you go. Wisdom is the noun. Wise is the adjective. Of course, we'd all like to be wise.
Yeah.
And as you said, you don't have to be old to be wise. There are some young people who are certainly very wise, but,
they make good decisions.
True. They kind of know how things work. They have a good sense of judgment. They have lots of experience. And I did want to say sometimes the opposite is true. Sometimes if you're old, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are wise, although there certainly are a lot of wise old people out there, and there are certainly more wise old people than there are wise young people.
Well, hopefully the older you get, the less dumb mistakes you make. You make better choices. I know a lot of old, not a lot, but I do know some old people who never grew up, and they seem to make the same mistakes over and over. That's not being wise. That's being stupid. So hopefully we're all getting a little wiser. It's good to have good examples in your life, to watch people who are wise, and copy some of their decisions so you don't have to suffer from your own mistakes.
And, of course, she wants to impart that wisdom to future generations, young people in the future. So I think some of the ideas that she's talking about in her books will also apply to people in the future, because these issues seem to always be important, the ideas of abortion and family structure and what's right and wrong, etc. So these books could be read by young people, and I think I'm going to try to read some of these books, too. I bet I could learn something as well.
Okay, everybody, it's time for our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to wrap up.
我们的作者 Louis Laurie 其实写过了超过20本青少年类别的书籍。在第三段里面提到呢，这本书 The Giver 是他目前最畅销、最受欢迎的作品。我们来看一下在这一段的第二个句子写着 These include abortion, euthanasia, political correctness,and the decline of the traditional family structure. 这里的 these 其实指的就是前面讲到的 many hot issues. 在他的书当中提到了很多呢，当时在美国社会的棘手的议题，包括了 abortion, 堕胎 euthanasia, 安乐死 political correctness,政治正确性以及传统家庭结构的示威。在这里提到的是 the decline of the traditional family structure。我们来看一下 decline 这个名词，解释成为就是衰退、衰弱的意思。我们常常听到英国经济的衰退，就可以说 the decline of the British economy。如果讲到某个事物呢，是在衰落中，走下坡，你就可以用片语 on the decline。接着我们来看到文章的最后一句 Now, Laurie is a grandmother and continues to write novels aimed at imparting some of her life's wisdom to future generations.而现在呢 Laurie 已经是身为一个祖母了，她持续的写作，并且想要传授她生命当中的一些智慧给后代的子孙。在这里我们要注意的是 impart 用来当作动词，解释成为告知跟传达情报的意思。举个例子来说 There was no way to impart the news to the outside world，指的就是没有办法把这个消息传达给外面的世界。
That brings us to the end of our program for today. We're going to continue talking about The Giver. In our next program, we're going to talk about some of the themes in The Giver. So make sure you tune in when we talk about those ideas next time. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.